thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
If you turn now to Colossians chapter 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wonderful passage of scripture, and we're going to take it phrase by phrase this morning. One job that I could never have done successfully is waitressing. You see the waiters and waitresses in hotels or restaurants, whatever, carrying armfuls of full plates or trays of drinks, and they gracefully maneuver their way through crowded restaurants and whatever, and they set them down at the tables without incident or spillage. Well, even as young as 10 years of age, I knew that job was never going to be an option for me. That realization came one day in primary school. I was given the task, for whatever reason, of delivering a cup of tea to the headmaster's office. Now, as I walked along the corridor carrying this cup of tea in its saucer, and I think there might have been a couple of biscuits on there, it was wobbling and shaking so much, and the tea just kept spilling over. By the time I got to his office, Mr. Greer, and he was a scary man, by the time I got to his office, there was, I don't know what happened to the biscuits, but there was less than half a cup of tea, and I had a very wet sleeve in my jumper when I'd had to stop a few times and wipe the saucer dry. On that journey, I knew waitressing is not for me. Even to this day, I cannot carry a full cup of tea or coffee or a basin or a bucket anywhere without there being some spillage. As we come to these verses in Colossians this morning, we are hearing a call to allow some things to spill over from our lives. Paul is giving us positive commands, but in some ways they are, or they should be, the natural spilling over of the fullness that we have received in Jesus Christ. You will know, as we've gone through this book of Colossians, fullness is one of the themes, the fullness of Christ, but also our fullness in Christ. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." And as we journey on our Christian lives, there should be a natural overflow, a natural spilling of the peace of God, of the word of God, of thankfulness, of singing, of doing everything in the name of Jesus. Our lives need to be demonstrating the fullness that we have received in Christ. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. This elusive thing called peace, it's what the world's looking for, is it not? Some people think peace can be found in things. Maybe an isolated house far away from people, away from the hustle bustle of life, overlooking the hills or some tranquil scene. Some people think you can find peace if you go to a meditation class. For a time, you remove your mind from the stresses and the strains of life. Some people think peace can be found in financial stability, or if you're in a settled relationship. But the peace that Paul is speaking about here, the peace of Christ in your heart, does not require any of these things. Because for one thing, it is entirely supernatural. And it is only ever available for those who belong to Jesus Christ and know him as Savior. That is the first thing we need to remind ourselves of this morning. You cannot have the peace of Christ without knowing Christ, without knowing him as your Savior, because as Ephesians says, he himself is our peace. Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, the only one, who brings us into peace with God. His presence in our lives is what brings us real peace. Do you remember the wonderful blessing that God told Moses to give to Aaron to speak over the children of Israel? Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. For us now, the light of God has shone upon us. It has shone upon us in the face of Jesus Christ. That's from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:6. And Jesus says to us, as he did to his first disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now, of course, non-Christians can experience a sense of peace at different times, but this abiding peace, this knowledge, this peace that we are right with God and we have his presence is only found in Jesus Christ. And it is not dependent on the circumstances of life. I love this. The peace of Christ can be experienced in the most turbulent waters, in the fiery trials of our lives. It is available in every situation. But here in Colossians, the context here, the focus of the peace that is to rule in our hearts, it isn't so much our personal sense of peace. The focus is on how Christ's peace in my heart and in yours needs to overflow into the body of Christ. That's the church. That's our calling. Read it there. As members of one body, you were called to peace. We are called into the body. That is not a separate and distinct calling from our calling to salvation. The moment of salvation, every single believer ever is called into the body of Christ, the worldwide body of Christ that includes everyone who trusts in Jesus as Savior. But this calling needs to find expression within a local fellowship of believers, just like this one or any other one in any other town. It is easy to sit at home and feel completely one with the worldwide body of Christ, but never come into contact with them. But the calling only has real meaning for us when it's experienced in the local church fellowship. It is in the local church that we have to learn to deal with the conflicts and the challenges that will inevitably rise among us. It is in the local church that we will grow if we allow other people to be used by God to speak into our lives, and we also speak into their lives. If you are experiencing the peace of Christ in your heart, and you are allowing the peace of Christ to rule in your heart, then you will be at peace with others in the body. He is our peace, and his presence and his peace within us brings his peace among us. The word here used for rule, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, could be correctly translated as umpire. Let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your hearts. When we are faced in church life with situations in which there are disagreements, differences with people, bit of friction between people, Paul commands us to allow the peace of Christ in our hearts to be the umpire, to maintain the unity of the body in the bonds of peace. We have to listen to the umpire. Christ's peace is to rule. So when conflict arises, as it inevitably does when you get a group of people, we need to listen and obey the umpire. Do you remember those outbursts in the 80s, John McEnroe at Wimbledon? I was going to show one this morning, just a wee one, but Dave's not here, so didn't do it. I just watched one yesterday to remind myself, when the umpire made a decision that he didn't like or didn't agree with, stomping his feet, "You cannot be serious!" You know, getting his racket on the ground and all that. Does that ever happen in church life? When you're in a situation, somebody, there's a bit of conflict with somebody, a difference of opinion, do you want to react in a less than godly way? Or do you say, right, in this situation, the peace of Christ has to be the umpire in my heart. I need to listen to the umpire and what he's saying and obey the umpire. The umpire's word is final. Does my response in any situation of disagreement, does it aggravate it? Or do I choose to allow the peace of Christ to counsel me, to be the umpire, so that my response fosters peace and not division? I'm not saying this is easy, because truthfully, we all think we're right in nearly everything. We think our opinion is right. We want to get our own way. But when we truly submit to honoring one another above ourselves, it becomes easy to look for the compromise or the points of agreement rather than the argument. Looking to seize the common ground rather than the difference. You know, anyone who is divisive and continually divisive in church life is not listening to the umpire. They are not allowing the peace of Christ to rule in their hearts, because it is the body aspect of peace that Paul's talking here. He said, let the peace of Christ rule or be the umpire in your hearts, because as one body, you are called to peace. All of us, we are Christians, we're in this body, and it is never just about me, and it's never just about you. It is always about us. We are partakers in the great peacemaking event of the cross. Jesus has called us to peace because of his peace. There's no room for hatred. There's no room for dissension. There's no room for division among us. There will certainly be difference. There's always difference. But there doesn't have to be division. His peace is to overflow. if we could grasp the implications of this for church life. You often hear people speak about churches and splits and fights and divisions. Do you know why? Because they're not taking this seriously. They're not allowing the peace of God to rule, preferring one another, honoring one another, forgiving one another, accepting one another, bearing with one another. Of course, I'm not talking about unity at all costs. I'm not talking about acceptance of sin, doctrinal error, or helping people and correcting when sinful behavior and attitudes creep in. But neither am I saying that we need to put every little thing right in everybody else's life to make them just like me. The peace of Christ is to permeate our fellowship. Paul says in Ephesians 4, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Then Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. The word of Christ, simply another way of saying the word of God. The Old Testament pointing forward to Christ, the New Testament full of the words and works of Christ and what that means. We all have the word in us to some extent, but we have a daily choice whether we allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. You can have it superficially, you know, like knowing the basic outlines of stories, remembering some of the teaching and preaching you've heard, but not being aware of the depth, not knowing it or experiencing it in a personal way. Or some people know every detail of the word. They could put you right when you go to quote a verse, but they have not experienced the life-transforming power of it. Paul's talking here about the word of Christ living in us so powerfully, it becomes such a part of it, it overflows. It informs every decision we make. It shapes our values and our thinking. It's constantly there motivating us, correcting us, challenging us, encouraging us. Again, you can see here the body aspect of allowing the word of God to dwell in you richly. Paul says, it's so that you were able to teach or instruct one another and admonish one another. That's to correct each other with all wisdom. It's not worldly wisdom. It's not common sense even. It's wisdom that comes from a firm knowledge of the word of God and how you translate that word into your real life. That's what wisdom is, applying the word, putting it into practice. Teaching and admonishing or correcting each other is a body ministry. It should be happening all the time among all of us. It's not a role solely for pastors or leaders. Some of you may be thinking, oh, I'm uncomfortable with that idea. Maybe because you're not used to it, or maybe because you think, nobody could tell me what to do. Actually, it is our role and our responsibilities as members of the body of Christ to teach and to correct and admonish each other. Giving and receiving advice, correction, counsel from the word of God as necessary. That is way out of some people's comfort zone. They think, oh, you haven't the right to interfere in my life and tell me what to do. You know, it isn't so much people telling you what to do, but pointing you to the Bible and saying, this is what God says about the decisions you're making, about the attitude you're having, about the direction you're going in. When any of us thinks that no one has the right to speak into our lives, we show how far removed we are from Paul's idea of body life. We are accountable to each other. We are reliant upon each other. I think if we took this more seriously, we would save ourselves a lot of heartache, because sometimes we've all seen it. We've seen someone slipping away into dangerous or an unbiblical course of action, or we see sinful habits or attitudes creeping into someone's life, and we're too scared to say anything. We think, you know, they might get offended, or we don't want to be interpreted as interfering or being a busybody. Listen, friends, that's a body ministry. We need to be accountable to each other. We need to look out for each other. We need to be willing to speak into people's lives, but we also need to be willing to allow people to speak into ours. Very powerful. Then Paul says, we're to do this as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. The rich indwelling of the word of Christ should find expression in the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You will find anybody who really loves the word of God loves to sing songs that are rich in the truth of God's word. Now, I know that sometimes newer songs get criticized for their theological weakness or even error. Sometimes. But I can tell you this. You have a wee look through the redemption hymnal and things haven't changed, because in there, there are some great ones. There are also a lot of hymns from the past that are stronger on sentimentality than they are on theological truth. It's nothing to do with the age of the song. Newer ones and older ones. The classics that we sing tend to be because they've lasted, because they are rich and strong in the truth. And that will be the same of the newer ones too. The primary thing is that the content, whether it is worship or thanksgiving, the primary thing is that they are true and centered on the word of God, scripturally sound and accurate. That's the main thing. Some commentators think the way Paul has written this here about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another and as you sing songs, hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that we get a teaching element from the singing. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I do know when you sing something, you remember it. This really dates me. Oh my goodness, will I sing it? Well, oh dear, dear. No, not sing it. I'll just say it and hopefully you remember it. Only the crumbliest, flakiest tastes like. Oh, see, somebody knows it there. That's one for flake. And then what helps you work, rest, and play? A Mars a day, except now it would be obesity, but never mind. Then what is it? Lilt with a totally tropical taste. Well, where are they from? The 80s or something? The 70s maybe, even. That's even more worrying. Those are ditties from 19 Oatcake. And I still remember those, because you sing them. Well, you don't sing them, you hear them. When we sing the truth, it also goes into our hearts. People often are singing hymns, singing choruses, instructing one another and being taught through the word of God. When we sing, when we come together, it's not a time filler. Singing in the Bible is massive. It is a hugely important part of our worship of God. And I know in recent years, again, there's been a bit of a criticism about the trend for making songs more focused on us than on God. And I understand that. But the truth is this, if you read through the Psalms, they don't shy away. And we were to sing the Psalms originally. They don't shy away from human emotions, human feelings, joy, sorrow, anger, confusion, comfort. We can't be upbeat and happy all the time, because that isn't life. Our songs need to reflect our experience and our experience of God. Surely we have to be able to sing in every season of life, when we're on the mountaintop and happy, and when we are in the depths of sorrow. There has to always, though, I think, be an element of joy and worship. Some people are scared to death of exuberant worship. They think of a Pentecostal church, they think we're all swinging from the chandeliers and all that. Pentecostal churches can never afford chandeliers. But anyway, they worry that it's because we're frivolous or shallow. Read the Psalms again. Read the accounts of God's presence among his people. It was always characterized by joy in the presence of the Lord. It is not spiritual to be dreary or dull. Never. The overall focus, though, is to be on his greatness and his grace. All worship should center our minds and our hearts on Jesus Christ and what he has done. Just before I move on, one thing I was really thinking about, this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I was thinking about how people I know and I've met and I've heard about who have dementia or Alzheimer's disease. I was thinking particularly of Joyce's dad. And in many ways, people in this condition have lost a sense of who they are. They maybe don't recognize people, or they don't recognize what's around them. But often when you play music to them, they're transported back to happier days. Many Christians, Joyce's dad included, you know, they don't understand much of what's going on, but you see when they start to pray, when they start to quote or to sing hymns, they are absolutely fluent. Do you know why that is? Because the word of Christ is dwelling in them richly. They may have lost every other faculty, but yet the Spirit is within them, and that word of God is within them, and it dwells in them and overflows. Let it overflow in us. Then do everything in the name of Christ, Paul says. And again, the context here is unity of the body. Jesus is the uniting factor for all of us in this room. You might think, I would have nothing in common with that person if it wasn't that they were a Christian. And that's sometimes the truth. But we are joined together in a body because of Jesus. We are connected to each other. Therefore, to do everything to maintain the unity is to do everything and say everything in the name of Jesus. That means that honors him, that promotes the unity that he desires. We can only do that if we are speaking and acting in his will and purpose. I was speaking to a teacher this week who was in a class, and one of the boys was really misbehaving. And the teacher noticed that he had on a bracelet, a WWJD, What Would Jesus Do bracelet. And so he challenged him, not just about his behavior, but about behaving in line with the name that he had on his wrist. If you own the name, you have to behave in line with the name. And that's the truth, folks. If we own the name of Jesus, our lives need to show that we live up to him. Jesus and his word are the filter through which we need to see our lives. Some of you, I know, do enjoy watching the Channel 4 program, my favorite program, Grand Designs. Anybody been watching it? One of the most recent ones, for those of you who don't watch it, was about a family from London. They had three children, and their two young sons were chronically allergic to so many things and had chronic asthma, life-threatening asthma. So they set about building a healthy house where as far as possible, all the materials used, all the furnishings wouldn't have harmful materials or harmful ingredients. They were making the house completely airtight and putting in this big air filtration system, filter all the air coming in, all the air coming in from outside to remove all the pollutants and then put the used air back outside. At the end of the program, they're showing Kevin MacLeod around the house, the newly done house, and the dad took out one of the filters from this new filtration system. They're looking at it. It's full of dirt, grime, dust, even a bug in there. It was all an attempt, and a very successful attempt, to improve the physical health of their children. When the word of Christ dwells in us richly, and we are doing everything in his name with an attitude of thanksgiving, it will act as a spiritual filter in our lives. All around us, we are surrounded by the filth and the grime of this world. Its attitudes, its values are pollutants to all of our lives. We are confronted daily by the dirt of the world. We need the filter of the word of Christ dwelling richly in us, doing everything in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving to filter out all that rubbish so that we can set our hearts and our minds on him, which will influence, obviously, our behavior. But it's not only the rubbish that needs to be filtered out. We need to filter everything through the word of Christ. How I spend my money, how I treat my family, how I deal in all my relationships, how I work for my employer, how I use my free time. Everything is covered in our lives through the filter of the word of Christ. Thanksgiving. You're maybe saying thankfully. Lastly, and very briefly, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In those three verses, three times of thanksgiving, be thankful, singing with gratitude, and giving thanks to God the Father through Christ. The attitude of thankfulness is pervasive. If we are grateful, and I'm sure you are, for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, thanksgiving will be uppermost and will overflow. There has to be an overflow. If you complain more than you give thanks, if you worry more than you give thanks, if you do anything more than you give thanks, you need to have a fresh look at the cross. See our Savior again on the cross. Remind yourself of what his grace has accomplished for you. The literal translation here, as so many times it's talking about thankful, is to keep on being thankful. It's not 1 hour on a Sunday morning. It is throughout the day, throughout every week, throughout every year, our whole hearts being thankful and letting it overflow for the multitude of blessings we have in Christ. So this morning as we come to the table, I pray that there will be an overflow of thankfulness from your heart. Let's pray for a moment. Father, there is so much to give you thanks for. Firstly, Lord, for sending Jesus to be our peace, for making us right with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that that call to salvation was also a call into the body of Christ, the church. Lord, I thank you that for all the friction sometimes there can be in church life, for the differences of opinion and all of that stuff, Lord, I thank you for the local church. Truly, Lord, what a privilege. We know that many in our world would give anything to meet freely as we do this morning in a local body, to have people to encourage them and pray for them and speak into their lives. Lord, forgive us when we take it for granted or when we grumble or complain. Thank you, Lord, for this body. I thank you for the very obvious love and peace that there is amongst this body. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would take our responsibility seriously to promote peace within the body, to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Help us, Lord, to really go out of our way to speak into each other's lives, to encourage each other, to counsel each other, maybe even to correct each other. Help us, Lord, in our relationships with each other to be genuine, to be true and godly. Help us, Lord, to look out for each other and protect each other. Lord, you've given us a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I pray, Lord, that your blessing would be upon us here, Lord, in this fellowship, as we pray for other fellowships in this area. Be upon us, Lord. May your presence be strongly felt among us. Lord, help us always to be absolutely centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ and your incredible grace, which is continuously poured into all of our lives day by day.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.